Welcome, Beth.
Okay, I'm thinking it's time for me to stop this and we'll get going. It may take me just a minute to figure this all out because I'm trying something new. And there you have a sneak peek preview. Okay. Klahowya.
Klahowya.
Welcome, everyone, to, I believe, session 9 of Legends and Lessons. And we are so glad you're here. As you know, we created this podcast in response to the need to collect stories, to collect history, to collect memories and things of all our cultures. And I always ask at the end of the show, what is your story? So be thinking about that. What is your story? What is inside your head for future generations that would benefit from hearing it? It may not seem important now, but it is important to your family and to the world. Grandfather enthusiastically committed to be our storyteller and has done a fabulous job. Tom joined with technology skills, and many people have joined as viewers, language students, teachers, and supporters. After the legend, we'll open the mics for questions and discussion that may spring from the story. Then we'll go into the language lesson with grandfather and Chinook jargon teacher, Rainbow. We've talked about grandfather's life from birth in a cabin near the Yakima River to the family move to California. We explored his circuitous route through many institutions of learning to a final chapter to obtaining his ordination as a Methodist minister. Grandfather, you may have to help me out on that point. Two major world events during his young life were World War I and the Great Depression, events that helped define an entire generation. Now, this small fact I'm going to repeat, as for me, it puts time into perspective. The U.S. was 151 years old, and the state of Washington was only 37 years old when grandfather was born. Grandfather held many posts as a minister in the Methodist Church, other churches, and is a longtime teacher of the medicine wheel. He's been instrumental in helping me expand my worldview, and for that, I am forever grateful, and for many like me. So now, let's invite Grandfather Roy Wilson to share some stories with us. Grandfather, take it away.
Masi, masi, masi. Klahowya, all my dear friends. Well, tonight's story, will be title it, The Horse Race. And it goes like this. Once in the long ago time, there was a little boy who lived with his grandmother. And he always liked to go out hunting. He wanted to learn how to use that bow and arrow so that when he became a grown man, he'd be a good hunter. Well, all he hunted were the little tiny animals, like the rabbit, the squirrel, and other little animals. But one day, when he was out hunting, and oh, when he would go hunting, grandmother would tell him, "Now be careful, don't go very far from the house, because the old woman of the woods might capture you and put her in her basket and take it home and eat you." And that story about the woman of the wild woman of the woods has legends in almost every tribe in the Northwest Coast. They all have legends about her. And we won't tell one of her legends tonight. He was warned, be careful, don't go very far out. But one day when he was out, he saw a little tiny horse. A tiny, tiny horse. And he was going to shoot it. He marveled how beautiful a little animal it was. He pulled out his bow and strung an arrow into it and let it fly, and he missed. And he was real happy that he missed it. He thought, I shouldn't try and kill that. It's such a pretty little animal. But he shot another arrow, and he missed it again, fortunately. Then the little horse said to him, why don't you take me home with you? And why don't you learn to ride me? And I will make a great, great man out of you. You will be highly rewarded. Why don't you jump on me and ride me home? So the little boy jumped on him, and the horse was so tiny that little boy's feet were only 2 or 3 inches off of the ground. It was a tiny, tiny horse. Well, as he rode up to the house, Grandma saw him, and she got frightened. She screamed, what are you doing bringing that animal here? She had never seen a horse before. She didn't know what it was. And she says, you bring it home in a dangerous being that could hurt us? Take it back. Oh, Grandma, it's such a pretty little animal. Can't I keep it, huh? Well, Grandma loved Grandson so much, she finally relented. So then she helped him cut grass and bring it for the little horse. And every day, the little boy would groom the horse. Because when he first got the horse, it was badly matted and it was really shabby looking. But he brushed it out every day. He brushed all the mats out of it. He brushed all the old dead hairs out of it until it was looking real slick and beautiful. And every day, that little horse would just take him a little bit faster and a little bit faster until he was running so fast. In the meantime, grandmother, who had never seen a horse, she had heard that there was a chief in another village not far away who had racehorses. Well, one day when they were flying like the wind, the little horse said to the little boy, I want you to have Grandma go and tell that chief that you'd like to race your horse against his. So the next day, Grandma went, and she found the chief. And she says, my grandson has a little horse, and he wants to race with you. The old chief, he laughed because he thought, they don't have a horse. You can tell by the way she's dressed that she's a very poor person. They can't afford a horse. But he laughed, that's okay. You bring your grandson and that horse, and we'll race tomorrow. So they brought the little boy and Grandma and the little horse. They came to the village where the chief was. And the chief, he said, now you know that you have to bet something. You have to bet your horse against my horse, and you have to bet something else. He says, I'll bet my horse you win this race, and you'll win my horse that you raced against, and you'll win a slave. Now, what are you going to bet with your horse? The little boy said, I don't have anything else except my grandma. I expected a chuckle there. The chief, he said, she's no good. She's too old. She's useless. She's worthless. And that made the little boy angry, and he threw his fist in the air, and he said, my grandma, she's the better cook than any cook you have in your village. My grandma can dig roots. My grandma can carry great heavy loads as great as any young woman in your village. And she is, well, then a man that was a right-hand man for the chief, he was Coyote. He said to the chief, he whispered, go ahead. Your horse, You can take, you have five racehorses, and your worst horse can run circles around that little thing. Go ahead. I can have grandma as my woman. I can use a cook. Well, they had the race. The little boy's horse won. Oh, grandma breathed a great sigh of relief. I get to go home. Now, the little boy had two horses, his own horse plus the chief's horse and a slave. Well, that night, the chief sent a runner to the little boy's and grandma's house. And the messenger, he said, the chief, he wants you to come and race again tomorrow. And okay. So they went back and they raced again. And again, the little boy's horse won. The night went home, he had three horses and two slaves. Well, I could make this story go on and on, but you know, he finally got down to where the chief only had one horse left out of his five horses, and it was his best horse. That horse had never, never, ever lost a single race to any horse. But the little boy's horse won. The chief had no more race horses left. And the little boy, he had now six horses and five slaves. That would make him be recognized as a very, very wealthy young man. The chief, he sent the messenger back once again. I miss my horses. If you bring your grandma and all your horses and come and live in my lodge with me, then you, when you grow up, you can have my best daughter for your wife. And when I die, you'll be the chief, and you'll be a much better chief than me. And so it was. End of story. Now, what is the... There's a moral lesson learned here. And what is that lesson? And here it comes. You are the little boy. And the little boy is you. Oh, now, grandfather, who is grandmother in that story? Grandmother is your sense of security. Grandmother was the little boy's security. But what is your sense of security? Well, for if you have little small children in your home, well, you are their security. They look to you for their security. You may be a woman that you're not employed, and your husband brings home the paycheck. He is your sense of security. Maybe you're the one that's working. Well, then your boss, your company, your job, that's your sense of security. Oh, there are many, many ways we can look at it. Many ways of seeing your sense of security is different from anything I mentioned, but that's grandma in the legend, your sense of security. So, what is the horse race? What is winning the races? Well, first of all, it's the little horse that is you, and it's the little tiny talents and gifts that you have. Maybe you have been living for years, all kinds of dreams of doing great things, but you're right no further advanced in your life now than you were 30 years ago. You have those little horses, the little gifts and talents that you've never done anything with. Now, what did the little boy have to do with that little horse? He had to groom it, and ride it. You may actually have a talent to be an artist, but you never have developed it. You never ridden that horse. Oh, it's a little tiny horse, a little tiny gift of art. Gift and art talent, but start grooming it, start riding it. You may become known as one of those internationally known artist. Well known. You win the race. You have the chief spot. It may be other field of interest other than that. Maybe it's writing. Maybe it's in the field of music. You might be able to become, if you just start grooming your field, your talent of music, start riding that horse, you might become one of the internationally known musicians. You can win the race of life. And so you are that legend, and that legend is you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's my
story. Thank you. You know, as always, Grandfather, I get the feeling that, I know there's a lot of people here with me, but I get the feeling that you're talking just to me. And I know that everybody here has that same feeling. I can personalize that story and take the symbolism, and it's so helpful in my life. So at this time, I know other people must have comments and questions. So let's open up the mic so people can
talk about it. Any questions regarding the story?
Was it a common thing for them to have slaves back in those days?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. When the first settlers arrived here, which hasn't been very, very long ago, all the west coast, northwest coast tribes had slaves. And you might have one slave, you might have 15 or 20 slaves. So you're probably wondering, well, where do the slaves come from?
Yeah.
Maybe your village would be raided by another tribe and they would capture and take some of your people. Well, here on this western Washington, along the coast here, we were attacked many, many times by the Tlingit Indians up in Alaska. They were very warlike people up there. They would come down in 100-man canoes and raid our villages here in the Puget Sound area. They would capture our women and our young people and kill them. And the women and the young people would become slaves. And all of our tribes had slaves.
I would not have guessed that. I don't know if I've heard that history of having enslaved tribes for other tribes.
It was a very prominent part of our lives, which totally ended when the white man came and took over. And that was the end of the slavery.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that.
A few other things about the slaves, maybe, that will be of interest to you. Here in our Northwest Coast tribes, we had some who were known as, Indians known as flatheads. When you were a baby, you were in the cradle board. A board would be down on your skull. An infant, and after they're born, the skull is very soft and tender. It can be molded, and it would be a flathead. But the only people who could be flatheads were the elite, the members of the royalty, the chiefs, the headmen. They could be flatheads. The common people could not. So a slave would not be a flathead, but a slave might be taken as a wife, not just as a slave. Was a slave to a chief, but the chief fell in love with her and he marries her. Now she's no longer a slave, and now her children can become flatheads. So that's a little more of the history of the way things went.
Okay. Any other questions about the story? Great. You'll have to raise your hand because we have your mic muted. And if not, we are going to move on to the language lesson. I am pretty darn excited about this. Okay. So we have Rainbow. Are you with us, Rainbow?
I am.
Excellent, excellent. So Rainbow and Grandfather are going to share in our language lesson tonight. But first, we are going to
start with your
comment. Our review up on the screen. And I'm going to start it. Do you have that on your screen?
Yeah, part of it.
Okay, the screen.
Do you have it now?
Let's go to the beginning of that list.
Okay, I'll let you take it from here.
No, just go to the start. That's the beginning of it. Okay, you got, these are words that I have given to you so far. Chaco, to come, become, chuck, water, cultus, useless, worthless. Maybe I'll have you say the word after me so you get the correct pronunciation. Chaco.
Chaco.
Chuck.
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 Cultus.
Cultus.
Delate.
Delate.
And Nimkum's, I told you before, you can use that, like if you use it for very, and you instead of saying that's very good, you say very good. Then you say delay. Then if you, when you're talking Indian, talk just like you would in your natural language, by placing the emphasis where it's needed. The next word, highest sakali tai.
Highest.
Sakali Tai.
Yes. And I give you the definition. There are pennies down there given the list definition of how to pronounce it. Copa.
Copa.
In, at, by, with, from. Klahani.
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 Outside or outdoors. Klahauya.
Klahauya.
Klaska.
Klaska.
Yeah, Klaska, then they, those, there, them. Cloche.
Cloche. Oops, sorry about that.
Close is close is one word, probably one of the most used words that you'll ever use. Masi.
Masi.
Thank you. Mica.
Micah.
That's the singular form of the word you. Next. Mamook.
Mamook.
That's a do, to make, to prepare. Misaika.
Misaika.
Now, I want to notice something for you. Penny's going to have to delete one of those two E's. She's got to be in pronounced me psyche, and it's not me psyche, it's meh. The E here in Miss Psyche is like the E in the word lesson. Lesson, le, eh, meh, Miss Psyche. So you're the only one there. And Rainbow, as I'm going through this, if there's anything you want to make any comment, come on in on me.
Nope.
Next word, midlight.
Midlight.
That's to be, to live, to have. Muckamuck.
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 I like that word because I like food. Nika.
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 I, me, my, mine. And we go to the next one.
Nawitka. Can you see?
Okay. Oh, that's it.
Oh, grandfather.
Now we got it. This is another one where you have a double E and you want to take one E out.
It's okay.
Grandfather.
It's not.
I got a comment on that.
Yeah.
I'm looking here in your book. Yeah. And me psyche is the way you have it written in the book. M-E-E.
Do I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have me psyche.
Okay.
I know. We say Masaika, but but you wrote down me psyche, and I'm pretty sure you did the same thing on this psyche because I'm looking right now. Yeah, you do, knee psyche, and that's written right in your dictionary.
Okay.
Straight out of that.
Thank you for correcting me. I guess I've been pronouncing this psyche for so long. Oh, we have a village up on the upper Calas River that once existed, and they still have road signs there in Nisaika, and the Calas always pronounce it Nisaika, so that's the reason I had. But when I work in my dictionary that I put together, I copied 23 different dictionaries, and some of those, Dwayne Pascoe, he gives us pronunciation on a lot of them, and that's how I got Nisaika. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Rainbow. Next word. Uh-huh.
Oh, Coke.
Okay, this, that, it, these, those. The next word, potlatch.
Potlatch.
And I talked quite a bit about potlatching. Tickeg, and it's tickeg.
Tickeg.
So I would say it's with an I rather than a E-A, tickeg.
Okay. Nikkeg.
All right, I'm looking up your book right now.
Okay.
I've got your book right here in front of me. Nikkeg. All right.
Okay. Nikkeg. Next one.
Okay. Yes, and you're right because it's you got here pronunciation I as in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I as in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tickeg. But I will say something about tickeg.
Okay.
Tickeg is a very difficult word to say properly. I'm sure none of us do because we haven't got that guttural thing going. But ticky is a very, very common word. You'll hear people saying ticky or TK. And that was Dwayne Pascoe that was saying it was like the letters T and the letter K. So what I tell my students is if you, however you say it, it's almost like when you go to different parts of the United States and they pronounce words a little bit differently. So if one person says ticky and another one says TK and somebody else says tickeg, we all understand that that's their way of saying this word. And I would say the same thing for Nisaika and Masaika. You know, don't be a stickler, you know. If the word was completely different, I would say okay. But like Grandfather said, we have been saying Masaika and Nisaika for so long that if somebody says Nisaika, then, I'm going to know what they're talking about. What do you think about that, Grandfather?
Very good. Okay, on to the next one. Can you change it, Penny?
Oh, it's at the bottom. You just can't see it. It's Yaka. Yeah.
Yeah,
it might be not on your screen.
I see something down below that, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't have any way to make it jump up, but it's Yaka.
Okay, I got four more words I want you to add to that list, all of you that are listening. The next one is Tamanawas.
Oh, wow.
Tamanawas, T-A-M-A-N. A-W-A-S, Tamanawas. Tamanawas is our medicine spirit, our spirit power, our spirit guide. The Christians, who believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they read that scripture, the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God and reveals them unto us. We ended to say, oh, you Christians, the Holy Spirit is your Tamanawas. Tamanawas. Some Indians would say, well, that's my totem power, my medicine totem power. Tamanawas is anything there's a supernatural being. Angels are tamanawas. So your spirit guide, if you aren't an Indian and you aren't a Christian, but you talk about your spirit guide, that's, Indian would say, that's your tamanawas. Any comments on that one, Rainbow?
Nope. You could tell them about Tamanawas Rock.
Oh, okay, Tamanawas Rock. Maybe a lot of you would like to go see Tamanawas Rock sometime. That's up on the Olympic Peninsula, about a Port Townsend, between Chimicum and Port Townsend. If you're driving on that road to Chimicum, or from Chimicum, I should say, to Port Townsend, you will see Tamanawas Rock. Well, before you get into Chimicum, if you look off to the left, it's a big rock. And before the first white men came here, the Indian tribes up in that area would go there on their vision quest to seek their Tamanawas, their medicine spirit guide. And it's still called Tamanawas Rock today. And I have led, when I was living up in that area, I led a number of my groups that I was teaching the medicine wheel to have spiritual gatherings, Indian spiritual gatherings at Tamanawas Rock. Anything further you want said there, Rainbow?
Nope.
Okay.
All right.
So now we're going to get into our first lesson of phrases.
No. Wait, halt, stop. We haven't finished the 22-lettered word yet.
Words. Yes, that's right. I only gave you Tamanawas. Thank you.
We skipped Sukum.
Okay. We've already given you Tikeg. Telecom.
Skookum.
I haven't given Skookum. Oh, goodness, yes. Skookum, S-K. W-O-O-K-U-M, S-K-O-O-K-U-M, Skookum, Skookum. Skookum is a word that means strong or powerful. As I told you the other day, I thought I'd already given this to you because I mentioned you in Centralia, you're acquainted with the Skookumchuck River. But your road sign says it puts the two words into one word, makes one word out of it, Skookumchuck. But that's from this very language you're learning to speak. Mm-hmm. Skookum, powerful, chuck, water, powerful water, and strong water. And it doesn't look very powerful and strong or swift. It looks very gentle. But when the early settlers arrived here, a lot of them saw that as not, they didn't look powerful or strong, but they crossed in the wrong place and their wagons were swept away by it. The Indians knew it was powerful. They knew it. They called it Skookumchuck. So that river was called Skookumchuck long before white men came here, and it's still Skookumchuck. Any comments on Skookum, Rainbow?
Yeah. That was a word that the settlers used a lot. And grandfather and I have a mutual friend. His name is Skookumorka. And he told me he was that when he was little, he can remember his dad and his grandfather using the word Skookum all the time. You know, something is good at Skookum. And it was part of the common vocabulary, just like potlatch or muckamuck. But Skookum. But in the book, it's strong and it's powerful, but it can also be a very scary powerful. It can, because it says here, it can also be a ghost or an evil spirit or demon. And it can be vehement, tight, violent, tough. So Skookum is definitely powerful and strong, but it can also not just be a good powerful or strong. It just covers the whole idea of powerful or strong. It's Skookum. It's really heavy-duty power and strength.
Yeah. Okay, our next word is Tilikum. T as in Tom. I L L I C U M. Tilikum. Say that together with me. Tilikum.
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 Tilikum. Okay.
That means people.
People. Oh.
Yeah. The Centralia Tilikum, the Centralia people. Rainbow, you want to say anything about Tilikum?
Yeah. Have any of you ever gone to Seattle and gone over to Blake Island to Tilikum Village and had the salmon dinner and the show and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tilikum means your people, your tribe, but it's always used in a friendly way. They're my people. You know, they're my tribe. They're my family. It's my nation. We're American Tilikum. You know, we're the American people. We feel good about that. You would never use Tilikum for an enemy.
Could you use that in a short sentence?
Tilikum?
Yeah.
Well, like over on Blake Island, it's called Tilikum Village. It's the people's village.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in the native language, okay. How would you say it?
The people, the Medicine Wheel people are my Tilikum. We have the same ideas, the same views, the same understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're my Tilikum, the Medicine Wheel people.
Excellent.
In
Thank
Unity
you.
Church, everyone in your congregation are your Tilikum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a congregation with the same feelings of community.
Gotcha.
Towards each other.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Our final word in this list of the most common words, tum tum. T M T U M. Tum tum.
Mm-hmm.
Are they saying it?
Tum-tum.
Okay.
Tum-tum.
Means the heart or the mind. So if I say ma, say ma, say kopanika, tum-tum, I'm saying thank you from my heart. Tum-tum, heart, mind. Rainbow?
Tell them the reason that tum-tum is used for both heart and mind.
Well, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But you say, well, I'm just going to give you what's in my mind. In other words, the mind and the heart in certain areas are quite synonymous in that our heart is filled with just what we believe in our head, in our mind. And so there's that real connection. It's just two different ways of saying that. The heart of my thoughts, the heart of my mind.
Mm-hmm. In order to make a good decision, your mind and your heart have to be balanced. You know, because you don't want to just follow your mind and not your heart, or follow your heart and not your mind. You want your mind and your heart to work together.
Yeah.
To make a good decision. The other thing I would say about tum-tum is that when it comes to the mind, it has to do with the emotional side of the mind, like imagining, dreaming, where your heart is involved with that. It isn't just ordinary thoughts like, what am I going to make for dinner tomorrow? Am I going to be late to work? You know, that's not tum-tum. That's an ordinary thought. To be tum-tum, there's an emotion involved with it.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. How much time do we have left, Penny? Do I have time to go into lesson one?
How long is lesson one? We've got 15 minutes.
Okay, let's go.
Six or seven.
let's go ahead. I want to start a series of lessons where we're going to be open mics and talking to each other. We're going to begin actual conversation. And I'm going to begin by using phrases and teaching you the use of the question words, the what, when, why, where, how words. And so our first lesson in this will be Ikta, I-K-T-A, Micah, which I've already given to you, meaning you in the singular, and the third word, Nim, N-E-M, Ikta, Micah, Nim. Ikta means what, and Nim means name. So Ikta, Micah, Nim, I'm asking the question. What literally translated, what you name? In English, we would say we're asking, what is your name? So the answer that you will give then would be, again, a word that I have already given to you, Nika, me, my, mine, Nika Nim, my name. Mitlite is, my name is. And then I could answer that. Nikonim, Mitlite, or I could just even leave the word Mitlite off. I could just say my name, Nikonim, Roy, my given name. Or I could go say Nikonim, Itzwu, Wawahayo, my Indian name, my name. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to call on one of you. I'm going to ask the question. And then you will give me the answer in the jargon. And then when you finish with that, now it's your turn to ask somebody else and ask that, call them by name. It's on the pictures up here. You call them by name and you ask the question, they will answer, and then they will call on somebody and see if we don't have time enough tonight.
Should I put the PowerPoint back up there?
Everyone will have a chance to answer the question and then to ask the question. So I'm going to start. Rainbow, Ikta, Micah, Nim.
Micah, Nim.
Micah, Nim, Rainbow. Penny. Ikta,
yes.
Micah, Nim.
Micah, Nim, Penny.
Close. The late close.
You're welcome.
Call on somebody.
Oh, me? Okay. Tom. Ikta Micah Nim.
Micah Nim Tom. Ikta Micah Nim.
What did you say?
Ikta Micah Nim.
Oh, did you say me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Micah Nim Cindy. I was gonna try. What is it?
Nobody's called Johnny yet.
Yeah.
We've got to get Wesley in here. He's far too quiet.
Yeah. Johnny. Itka Micah Tillicum.
That wasn't what me. It's good night.
No, Tillicum people. What's the name of your people?
You don't get to change it to something
I'm
else
sorry.
For practicing.
I didn't mean to throw you a curve. Okay, it came back.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Penny?
Mike and Nim. Johnny.
Who's
that here? Rita?
Say it again, Rita, grandfather.
Mike and Nim.
You had a person that called on the phone and it's not pictured. You're going to call her.
That's Wes. I did call on Wes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her so she can get in on it.
Wes, Ikta Micah Nim.
Micah Nim, Great Spirit Wolf.
Ah.
And there's a story behind that that I'll tell sometime.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I think we've got that one down. Let's brave another question.
I tried that. Don't do that.
You're going to be going through a series of phrases and conversing with each other now from here on.
Okay.
And are there any questions or comments on tonight's program?
If grandfather, I'm sorry to speak up. I'm not sure. This is the first time I've listened. I have to say that thank you. Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us that don't have a lot of knowledge about the traditional Indian nation here. But myself, I have a great desire to learn. And so I would just like to express my thanks. Thank you for taking the time and effort to teach us.
Hello, close. Masi, 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 like a kofa tum tum. Close, close, close.
So, grandfather?
Yes.
I have noticed that you use the term Indian.
Mm-hmm. I did what?
When, I don't know. To me, it's there's no India here. And I just want to be sure that I am respectful when I refer to people of tribes. And so is Indian still an appropriate word?
You ask a very interesting and very good question. Are we Indians? Are we Native Americans? What are we? I'm going to answer that. Take me a little bit to answer this one because there's a whole lot involved here. First of all, we were called Indians because of one reason, that Columbus thought he discovered India. And so he called us Indians. So what would we be called today if he thought he had visited Turkey? We called a bunch of turkeys. So many of our people, they say, we're not Indians, we're Native Americans. But if you were born here, you're a Native American. And so anyone who's born here is a Native American. So that doesn't really tell the story perfectly either. When I'm down in the deep south of preaching in Indian churches, and if I use the word Indian, they say, we're Native Americans. I get up here, the Northwest Coast, and they say, oh, we're not Native. Everybody can be a Native American. So there's been a great struggle to try and figure out who are we. First Nations people is one terminology that is used by some. There are numerous other terminologies that are used, but I'll tell you the perfect word. The name of your tribe. I'm a Kalitz. Yeah. I'm a Yakima. I'm a Nisqually. That's who we are. Our tribe. That's who we are. But the question is a good one, and I might say that we are not the only ones that struggle with how to be identified. Every ethnic minority group in the nation struggles with it. I remember when I was a boy, my mother taught me, you never, never, never call that man a nigger. He's a Negro. But then we got to a place where we no longer call them Negroes. And so they went through a number of different ones. Now they're called African Americans. And so you can take the Italian was a WOP, and oh, we can go on and on with this. But this question that you asked, Tom, is a very good question. And I would just say, you can call me an American. Call me, if you want to identify me as an Indian person, you can address me as a Kalitz. And the word Kalitz, every Indian tribe that I know of, their tribal name initially means the people, much like that word Tilikum, only it has more than that. It says the people, and it says something about them. For example, the Hopi, the word Hopi for the Hopi people, the people from down under, the Kalits, the people who seek their medicine spirit, or the spirit-seeking people. And so it says something about who we are as the people. And all of this has to deal just with many different ways of looking at answering your question, how to address this, Tom. So thank you for that question. It was a good one.
That's interesting, Tom. I always thought that the word Indian was derived from indigenous. And I guess I made that up. I don't know where I got it, but it makes sense to me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Columbus thought he discovered India, and so he called them Indians, and so we've been called that ever since.
Okay.
Another mistake by the white man.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
No, just time warning. It's like
thank you. Thank you. 4 minutes.
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune is coming up for Grandfather. So we're going to do a quick closing, but first I want to ask any last questions, burning desires, any words you haven't heard? Okay. Well, I want to thank Tom. Go ahead.
I just, again, this is Wes McMahon. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the invitation and thank you for everybody's time. I really, really appreciate this.
Come back on Thursday. We'll be at the same place, the same time.
All right. I'll do my best.
See you then.
Nice to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Grandfather.
Bye,
everybody.
Thank you all.
Bye,
I just thank everybody so much for being a part of the Story Hour. And we've already practiced. We've already asked our questions. So I guess we'll close and we'll see you guys hopefully on Thursday.